Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled us with the new light of the Word who became flesh and lived among us. Let the light of your face shine in all that we do, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the Word.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnants of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by the brooks of the water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep them as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the heights of the Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them, and I will give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounties, says the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 147 responsively. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For he has strengthened the power of your praise. He has blessed your children within you.
He has established peace on your borders. He satisfies you with the finest wheat.
He sets out his command to the earth, and his word runs very swiftly.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes.
He scatters the tail like breadcrumbs. Who can stand against his hold?
He sends forth his word and melts them. He blows with his wind and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel.
He has not done so to any other nation. To them he has not revealed his judgments. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
The Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he feels bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplish all things according to his counsel and his will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.'" From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The Gospel of the Lord. This is the 10th day of Christmas, the second Sunday of Christmas, and we're presented with a very different look at the birth of Jesus. It would be very difficult to put on a Christmas pageant using the Gospel of John as our base. There's no pregnant couple making their way off to Bethlehem to be counted in the census. There's no baby lying in a manger. There's no angels, no shepherds. There's no bright star shining in the darkness. There's no wise men coming from the east. There's no tired couple going off to Egypt with their newborn son outrunning the evil Herod. John doesn't give us much of a historical account of the nativity at all. Instead, he gives us theology. He gives us a confession of faith about the incarnation of God. John isn't at all concerned about telling us exactly what happened in Bethlehem during the reign of Caesar Augustus. John is concerned about telling us the truth about Jesus Christ right now, Jesus in our lives today. God became flesh and dwelt among us, lived among us. The gospel passage for this Sunday closes with a verse that tells us why this is so important. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son,
who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. God has never come this way before. God has never been seen in this way before. Of course, God has always been coming to the people of Israel, telling God's people of their relationship with God. But God has never really been seen, never been seen face to face in person until the birth of this child, Jesus. John the Evangelist knew all those stories of Hebrew scriptures, God coming in the burning bush, God speaking to the prophet in the little wind, God who sent messengers and angels and signs and rainbows and floods, God who lived in the temple that the people had built. But never before had God come in person. A little girl was busy drawing a picture, and her older brother came into the room. "What are you drawing?" he wanted to know. "I'm drawing a picture of God," she answered. Well, this smart brother had listened to the gospel on this Sunday, and he quoted from the first chapter of John's gospel, "No one has ever seen God." And for good measure, he added, "And no one knows what God looks like." And she answered, "They will when I finish with my picture." We find God in Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God embodied, God within us, Emmanuel, God is with us. John tells us to look to Jesus if we want to see God. In Jesus, God does not just take on human flesh, human form in a human body. God takes on the totality of what it means to be human, our joy and our love, our pain and our suffering. God takes that on. This is what incarnation means. God lives among us. God lives in us. We don't get to experience Jesus the same way that the people who lived in the first century did. We don't get to see Jesus, a newborn babe, lying in the manger the way that the shepherds and the wise men got to see Jesus. We have delightful Christmas pageants and beautiful creches to help us imagine this Jesus. We don't get to hear Jesus' teachings from his own lips. We read the scripture and we listen to the word proclaimed when we come to church in order to know this Jesus. We don't get to witness the life and death of Jesus, God in flesh, in the same way that the disciples did. But this God in flesh event can still have meaning for us today. Today, the 10th day of Christmas, the second Sunday after Christmas, on this day, the first Sunday of the new year of 2004, we share together the Eucharist. What a better sign of God's coming among us in person can we have? Here, God is truly embodied in Christ. Every time we share the Eucharist, we share in Christ's body and blood. We share in Christ's person, in Christ's very self. In this sharing, we become the body of Christ. We take on God's own body. God is with us. God is in us. And as the church gathered, we are the body of Christ. We are people filled with God's presence in a very concrete way. God comes to us to live in person, not only in the person of Jesus Christ, but also in our persons. God comes to dwell in us. One of the great mysteries of our faith is contained in the truth of the Incarnation. Jesus, though human, was more than that. Jesus, both human and divine, is the truth of the incarnation. And this great mystery is even more so a mystery by the fact that we are invited and called, prodded and pulled to share in this mystery of God made flesh. Through baptism and through our sharing in the Eucharist, by sharing the bread and wine of Holy Communion, of this communion meal, we not only take the body of the living Christ into us, we share in the mystery, the truth of God incarnate, and we become the body of Christ. God dwells in us because God is in us. We experience this in a very physical, tangible way. Within our very selves, we become the body of Christ. And with God living in our midst, in our very selves, there's no limit. No limit to how we can transform our lives. No limit to how we can transform the lives of others in this world that God has created for us. Well, if you're like me, sometimes you doubt. We doubt ourselves. We doubt other people. We even doubt God. But I think most often we doubt ourselves. We doubt our own worth, our own value. We doubt the impact that we have on our family and friends. We spend lots of money, too much money, on trying to make ourselves look better, look different than we are, because we're unsatisfied with ourselves. And all through this, self-doubt breaks in the truth of God incarnate. Into our self-doubt breaks the truth of the incarnation. We are so valuable to God that God wants to become one with us, to be closer to us, to love us better, to show us clearly how very important we are. We are precious and valuable, so much so that God wants to live in our midst. God wants to live within us, in our very hearts. I've gotten into a routine. Okay, some people call it a rut. My alarm goes off at the same time every morning. I eat the same thing for breakfast every day. I leave the house at the same time, and I drive the exact same route to the church every day. It's pretty dull, but I'm not the only dull person out there. Every day as I come to church, I meet the same car at the corner of West Point Loma Boulevard and Nimitz Avenue. There's a young man driving this car. It's a kind of a nondescript older vehicle with a bumper sticker that says, "Got Jesus?" Someday, I'm going to meet that young man, and I'm going to tell him why I think that's the wrong question, the wrong statement. Faith isn't about having the right answer to that question. Faith is believing the declaration of God's love for us. Our faith doesn't make God love us. Neither does our lack of belief undo God's love for us. It isn't a question of you got Jesus. The question is a statement, Jesus got you. That isn't very correct grammar, is it? Jesus has you. We are divinely loved. We are the precious children of God, whether we believe it or not. And in response to that great gift of God's love, we live as God's precious children. God has come to us again, not in a burning bush, not in a whispering voice from a cloud. God has come to us in person. Look who's sitting next to you or in front of you. God is here in our midst, dwelling in those around you. Look around you at work or at school, in the shops, on the freeways. God is among us, living with us, walking with us, dwelling in us. For John the Evangelist, knowing that God had come in person into his life, changed his whole life. And he wrote that beautiful prologue that we heard for our gospel reading today in order that everyone could know the importance of God's incarnation and that it could change our lives as well, so that we might know that we too are the precious children of God in whom God himself dwells. Christmas does mean a baby in the manger, but it's so much bigger than that. We celebrate Christmas for 12 days, at least in the church we do, the last day being the Feast of the Epiphany, which we observe on January 6th. And here at St. Peter's, we will be having a service with Holy Communion on this Tuesday evening at 6:30 to celebrate Epiphany. Do come. Join that last hurrah of the Christmas season. But after we put away all the Christmas decorations and the little baby Jesus is packed in a box and put at the back of the closet until next year, it may seem like Christmas is over. But really, it's just the start of it. God's love for us, God dwelling in us, the incarnation, goes on and on. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is our Christmas calling, to see the light in the darkness, to see the glory of God in God's precious people, to see the grace and truth that flickers in the people around you, and then to use your faith like a bellows to make that flame even stronger. To know in yourself the presence of God made flesh. This is our calling at Christmas, to know that God dwells in us. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled us with the new light of the Word who became flesh and lived among us. Let the light of our faith shine in all we do. Amen.